On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
So I want to get back to this. We stumbled into this story about the stadium, and the reporting now is starting to leak out more and more. This an Axios story from Kunit Dill, I believe I've got the name correct, works for Axios and has kind of the skinny on what's happening here. And I'll just recap it for you super quick. The RFK Stadium deal that's being discussed, debated, going back and forth, etc., you might see the influence of the federal government, or at least that's being threatened again. Okay. Whether that's the White House stepping in, whether it's the federal government through other levers and mechanisms. I didn't quite understand how that would work. It's sort of laid out here in this Axios piece. Their style isn't necessarily the long form. It's a lot of like, sort of bursts. It's like one line, this, and here's your summary, here's that. So you could, the point is, it seems that everyone kind of agrees. There is leverage and there is something that the federal government, aka the White House, Trump, whatever, could do to cut the city council out of the deal altogether, cut DC out altogether. The mayor was asked for comment, I think, about this the other day. And she kind of said, I'm not quoting directly, but kind of said, there's a lot of comments. I'm not really worried about that. Let's move on and deal with other stuff. Because this was in a sea of other comments that she's got to deal with as the mayor. She's not just the stadium person. She actually has to mayor the city. Anyway, so I'll get you a couple little nuggets here. But DC has a 99-year lease on the RFK Stadium land. But the federal government breaks leases all the time, and Trump could muscle in a new agreement cutting out the city. His involvement could have strings attached like design tweaks that could delay the project or a million other things, but the team and stadium advocates could simply say, we're tired of waiting, or we don't feel like the writing's on the wall for us to get the stadium, Linnell. We'll just end run you. We'll just go around the other way and make sure this thing gets done, because, frankly, they've tipped their hand.
Yes.
It's not this is where they want to be. It's where they got to be.
And I don't like that we've gotten to that point. And it's kind of what I said at the tail end of the last discussion about this. If I was Josh Harris and company, like, I understand it from both sides of the equation. They have done everything absolutely perfectly since they've gotten here to town. From buying us all beers out at the bullpen and to everything that they've done since they've gotten here to town has been smashola A+. If they don't get the team back to Washington, D.C. as they've promised, then it kind of looks like a black eye for Josh Harris and company. How fair is that? I don't know. My thing is this, though. If you're really trying to put the pressure on DC, which I know that they are based on them trying to go to Trump, but isn't there steps that you're supposed to take before you go tell mom and dad? Like, don't you try to fight back first? To me, like, go talk to Wes Moore. Go talk to Luis Lucas out in Virginia and provide a real threat that you're not just having RFK 2.0 as your only option for a new stadium. And this is where I, continue to reiterate my thoughts. You have given DC a sweetheart deal. You're willing to foot 76% of the bill. I understand the ancillary details about the parking stuff and all that. But bottom line is, you're going to get your community revitalized without having to invest much publicly. I think that should be something that, the city council jumps on. And right now it seems like they're not. If I was Josh Harris and company, I'm saying, hey, look, if you're not going to take our sweetheart deal, maybe D.C. or Virginia or Maryland will.
Or we're still doing D.C., but without you.
But without you.
That's really what cuts to the core of this particular report.
Why is this messy, though, Danny, for them to go through the president? Like, how? Explain that to me.
So it's a little bit above my pay grade. I'm just reading what everyone else is, but I'll do my best. The point is, this has always been the complicated relationship. The federal city, which was established in ratified through amendments, constitution, the whole nine yards, it was supposed to be independent of a state government.
Right.
They always wanted state governments to have their things, state capitals and deals, and then something that was independent in theory from influence from various states, right? And that's why they put this federal city here. Well, the city needs to operate. The city is a city. People live, breathe, eat, work, sleep, whatever here. So there are residents of D.C. It's right, I can't remember the exact number, but it always hovers right around a million.
Right.
It could go up, could go down. There are times where it's less, times more, whatever. But there's a lot of people that live in the district. So that needs government. You need a local government for trash pickup, for policing, for everything in between, for schools and the whole nine yards. You have a thing. But then you also have this federal oversight at all times where, or it's lurking around, right? Where you need the seat of federal government here. That's where Congress, the president, the judiciary, all the headquarters of every commerce department, of every bureaucracy, every chamber is in the district as well. So those are carve-outs. So those aren't part of D.C. in terms of the local D.C. It's part of D.C., the federal D.C.
Right.
And there's always this weird push and pull with who gets what. So there's the National Park Service, but the D.C. Park Service, and this is federal parkland, but that's where D.C. parkland starts. And this, droplet of water went off of city parkland, and now it's in federal. The whole thing's a mess. It's always a mess. So we have a more complicated relationship here than everyone else does. It's complicated everywhere to do these kinds of deals. When you're talking about billions of dollars, putting shovels in the ground, building up edifices, who pays for what bonds, who's getting screwed, et cetera.
It's complicated.
It's always complicated. You take that normal layer of complication and you put it in a maze with no lights. That's what D.C. is.
Okay.
Just because of this weird federal oversight type deal. An oversight type.
There's no North Star, so to speak.
Exactly. So what you have, when you have willing parties, and the major step that happened in this entire process, Lenov, the thing that was the Jaden Daniels to Noah Brown to beat the Bears was a congressman from Kentucky and the mayor of D.C. You wouldn't think these are normal bedfellows.
Right.
They're all of a sudden BFF totes. They're texting. They're finishing each other's sentences. They're on the same page. And this dude and the mayor decide, I'll get you the land. Great, I want the land. Awesome. And a Hail Mary happens, and D.C. gets control of national parkland under the guise and the premise that it is ultimately, with earmarked for a stadium and other things.
Yeah.
Taking what is a blight, what is an empty vessel, what is an in-the-way eyesore with nothing around it, really. There's a community kind of to the west, and the D.C. Army is right there in the shadow of it. That's where the metro stop would be. But it's boarded up stuff. It's run down chain link fences a lot around it. It's just kind of this area that is ripe for all sorts of development. Let's say the team never existed. You would go, my God, this is
water. Do something with anyone.
This is waterfront property in the District of Columbia, for God's sakes. It's why growing up around here, that this spot on this side of the river where we are now in Southeast D.C., where you'd go, how is the only thing here a pile of salt, a car wash, and a McDonald's?
Yeah.
How is that it? How is that the only stuff that's here? This is waterfront property in the nation's capital.
And we can't do anything with it?
And we couldn't do anything?
Yeah.
And this is decades of this. And there were a number of neighborhoods that have gone through renovations in my time in and around D.C. When I was in high school, if you drove to Union Station, you'd basically go down Mass Avenue from northwest towards southeast, right? If you can picture the, I said it's the crow flies, but it's the car drives. You're heading from upper left to lower right, and Union Station's kind of in the middle. You could just go through red lights. Not because they didn't care about the law, but because if it stopped, you might be in danger.
Yeah.
Okay. Right? They just go ahead, man. It ain't worth it. So the world has changed in a lot of ways in that regard. I don't really know where I'm going with that. I guess
on my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Other than to say that area has been in dire need of major substantive change for a long time. Here is an imperfect solution:
the stadium.
The stadium.
But, if you're Mayor Bowser...
And that's why this is happening. In other words, they'll go, we'll cut you right out, right?
Because if you're Mayor Bowser... So that's their leverage. It's like, well, we got the land anyway. We can do something with it regardless. Doesn't necessarily have to be a stadium. And if I'm Josh Harris, the company, I'm looking at you in the face and going, well, why haven't you? You don't have any real plans to have this area developed to where it helps us out financially and it, fixes a lot of the problems that ail this city. I just feel like... if it's not going to be the stadium, and this is me talking from the perspective of a fan that wants it there. If it's not going to be the stadium, D.C., then what else are we doing with the stuff? What else are we doing with that land that will get us a better return on our investment? Why are we playing hardball so much with the Commanders when they're in reality trying to do a good thing for us.
Well, so, but again, I don't want to make this like the football team's doing something totally altruistic. It's going to benefit, it benefits everybody.
It does. And I got to, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying it's not a charity. Yes. It's not the DC Stadium charity where everybody is getting well. But yeah, it's the right thing, and they get that. So a couple other things that I want to give you some nuggets on. There are levers that Trump could pull, again, without getting directly involved. And this is from the Axios story. So the president appoints members to both the Commission on Fine Arts, which I don't think has anything to do with this specifically, and the National Capital Planning Commission, or the NCPC, which would then advise on the design. In fact, the NCPC is handling the Capital One Arena overhaul, which I didn't realize. That's a detail that I had no idea
about. So the renderings that we've seen were from them?
I guess.
Okay.
A 71-page report is thick with demands, like a lighting plan that's down to lumens and color temperature. I mean, it's like...
details.
It's details, dude. So I just assumed, yeah, it's the, you know, DC whatever commission, but no. It's this NCPC that I've never heard of. But again, that shows you how complicated this stuff is.
Yes.
Somehow the Commission on Fine Arts, which is like, are we doing Swan Lake at the Kennedy Center? They're going to be involved in the stadium if they want it to be that. Anyway, the point is, there is a tangible, at least according to this, and real threat may not be the right word, but possibility of going, if you guys don't act right and do what we want, we will go over there. And you don't want that.
Yeah.
You don't want the Pandora's box of people that you may or may not like, may or may not be on their team. I don't care. I'm just telling you about the reality. We can put our big boy pantaloons on here and not get upset about the teams. I'm just saying, we'll go to the team, the opposite team that's in charge right now, and get this done without you. Real threat?
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Audacy podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.